was impressed with the fight from the Falcons being able to come back into that football game, but the Eagles gave them an opportunity. And I know that Nick Sirianni and certainly Saquon Barkley is catching hell today after that Monday night fiasco up there in Philly.
Yeah, I guess so. And we can obviously debate the merits of whether you just hand it off. It's a play I think Saquon Barkley makes almost all the time. What about Vic Fangio's defense? He's supposed to be the mic to have him. And all right, well, I'm looking at some of the numbers here. What's their calling card as a defense right now? I mean, they allow 385 yards, 6.6 a play.
Yep.
A week after allowing 414 yards, 7.1 per play. Like, the defense isn't any better, you know? And you're not seeing a lot of Brooks on the side of the ball. And and right now, with no A.J. Brown, right, some of their efficiencies in the passing game aren't what they would be in a perfect world. So that's going to be a hell of a game with them and the Saints. I don't know what to make of either of these teams right now, Carl, but, like, Jalen Hurts started running the ball a whole lot last night. And he actually, I think, ran it 13 times in the first game. But, you know, some of those were, you know, you had to think you're going to see Jalen Hurts have to kind of take this offense over a little bit and play even more option football. And I think they need to try to keep their defense off the field, because the way New Orleans is moving the ball right now and the big plays that they're getting, coupled with the run game, I don't know, man. I don't know. The Fangio hire to me was a little interesting. Like, I kind of feel like people have been getting the better of Fangio defenses the last couple years, and they might have a defense problem in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I thought, you know, going into the season that they wanted to kind of take some pressure off of Jalen Hurts. And to your point, I still feel like there's a lot of pressure on him to get it done. Like, to do more than what we maybe expected. I know they were without AJ, as you mentioned last night. But for me, you know, the way the Falcons gouge them running the football, those big boys up front that we talk about, right? Those Georgia boys, Jalen Carter and all these guys, they got gouged in the run game. And so, you know, you saw what the Saints did to the Cowboys. I don't know if that plays out Sunday or not, but at the end of the day, I thought it was a tell, or at least very telling, of the Eagles front seven that, hey, this big stout front that's supposed to be physical and being able to maneuver, they got out man last night. They got pushed around a little bit. So I'm with you as far as the defense is concerned. So all week long, Kirk Cousins got a lot of criticism about his mobility and whether he was 100% or not. He talked to Troy Aikman, I guess, before the game, and he said, I'm 100 in the pocket, but I'm not 100%. And it made people believe that he was saying, hey, I'm not physically 100%, which I think most people saw in week one. He was limited in his movement. Last night, that looked a lot different. And that's going to speak volumes for the Falcons, who get the Chiefs on Sunday. And then they play those Saints we're talking about to take on the Philadelphia Eagles this week, the following week. So, Cousins, give me your opinions on what you thought. At the end of the game, I thought it was great, obviously, to lead them down the field, 70-yard drive. But yes, all the criticism, maybe it was an overreaction. Maybe he is a lot better than what we figured he was.
Well, I mean, certainly another week of practice and then playing that game and getting an extra day to play that game couldn't have hurt. Certainly looked like it helped. And I figured he'd take a step in the right direction, and certainly he looked much more functional and much more comfortable than he did week one. And you would think with each growing week, assuming there's no setbacks or no aggravation to that Achilles area, the ankle or any of the ligaments around it, they should continue to progress as an offense. I'm really impressed with Atlanta's defense, to be honest with you. And it got overshadowed because, oh, they're just playing Pittsburgh, right? Like,
right.
And it got overshadowed because of Cousins' issues. But, like, they didn't give up a touchdown against the Steelers. And they clamped down pretty good in the red zone last night. And I think Matt Judon's going to continue to get more comfortable there. I think that safety pairing has a chance to be really impactful.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, you know, like, I think that's going to be an interesting game against the Chiefs next week. Like, I think that they can do a decent job of bottling up Kansas City, who's having their own issues in the red zone right now and finishing drives. So the Falcons defense made some serious strides last year. I figured Raheem Morris would take them to another level, and I think he might, Carl.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is In the Huddle, guys. Follow us In the Huddle pod. You can watch us on YouTube. Brian Baldinger, part of this podcast as well. Of course, Jason Lock on four, Carl Dukes with you as we talk ball every single week. Let's talk about the situation in Carolina. Bryce Young benched yesterday. Now, we record this on Tuesday. Monday, we get word that Dave Canales is saying we're going to bench him for Andy Dalton. I think this is a terrible mistake only because you're not allowing him to grow into the job and really see. Last year was a disaster, and they didn't have anybody. This year, they can't block. He doesn't really have anybody down the field to throw the ball to, and they still don't protect him. But yet they make this decision. A lot of people saying, this is not Canales. Jason, they're saying this is the owner, David Tepper.
Absolutely. Everything in that organization is on the owner. He's meddled. He's very involved. He's incredibly involved. He was incredibly involved in picking Bryce Young. He's been the guy who's run these coaches out. He was the guy who didn't think Steve Wilks was good enough for his franchise. He's the guy, Carl, who's 30-71 since he took over the Carolina Panthers. They have the worst winning percentage in the NFL since Tepper took over in 2018. The issues go beyond Bryce Young. He's playing poorly, but who else was dying to talk to Dave Canales? Refresh my memory. I don't recall. I don't recall there being a clamor around the league. He obviously impressed this billionaire, but I'm not convinced that Canales or this staff is ready to go, or that they necessarily know what they're doing, just doing their jobs, let alone trying to rebuild a quarterback who the franchise helped break as a rookie. So they're incredibly non-competitive. I've talked to some people about them through the summer and over the weekend for the Washington Post. It's a terrible roster. It lacks talent, and right now they can't compete in the trenches on offense or defense. So they're literally undermined at the point of attack. And everything, even the quarterback beyond that, is kind of superficial because they can't hold up. I mean, they've been absolutely bullied. Carl, they've been outscored 50-3 in the first half of these two games. If you think, oh, that's all Bryce Young, come on now. Yeah, I think it's a Tepper move. I think it's a move of desperation. It's the move with all of the stink of a guy who doesn't have the right temperament, doesn't have the right feeling, sense, doesn't have any football instincts whatsoever. Go watch Andy Dalton's last four or five games that he's played in the league. Come on now. If they had a developmental kid who they kind of liked, hell, if they had Trey Lance, you know what I mean? If you want to sell me something like that, but really Andy Dalton, that's how you're already that far in cover your ass mode. Let's just try not to get totally embarrassed. We're going to put this guy in the chuck and duck it, behind that offensive line with a defense that doesn't have any bite. They've got a good cover corner, but that doesn't make a defense. It's sadly for Panthers fans more of the same, and they're going to be the worst team in football, and they're going to have the first overall pick, and I got to think they take a quarterback because that's what the owner's going to want to do, and I don't think Dave Canales is coaching that quarterback. That's just me. I mean, people would say, no way can he do another one and done. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? Who's his inner circle? Who are the adults in that franchise? There aren't any.
He's got a lot of money. For those who don't know, on the scale of billionaires, he's the richest in the NFL. Yeah. And I know a lot of people don't know that. But to your point, it's not about money for him. He'll cut the check. So we will see. I think from an organizational standpoint, it's a mistake. But it's what they're doing in Carolina.